I'd like to address two questions from our scriptures today. Why does Jesus give us the papacy? Why does he give us the popes? Why does Jesus give us the church? I'd like to start with an idea or an analogy. Think of a sports team or a game that you play, whether it be basketball or football or baseball. Why do you play the game? Why do you play sports? You play it for the love of the game. You play it because it's enjoyable. You play it because you want to do well in it. You don't play the game because you like the rules or because you want to know all the rules, but it's important to know the rules to play the game well. Have you ever played a pickup game or a game, you know, kind of just for fun, and there's no ref or there's no umpire? Sometimes when that happens, the game kind of breaks down because there's no one there to kind of speak for the rules or kind of make sure that the rules are being followed. That's what the role of the umpire or the referee is. You know, if you have a rule book, it's sitting there. You have all the rules perfectly laid out there, but if there's nobody to speak the rules or talk about the rules, then, you know, it doesn't work so well. There needs to be that living voice that can voice the rules and make sure that the rules are being followed. Now, the papacy is precisely that living voice that Jesus gives to us. He gives to his church. If we look at the Protestant churches, they fractured into many, many different denominations or many different churches. Why does that happen? Luther and Calvin would never have envisioned that for the Christian world. They never would have thought that this was a good idea, that the fractioning of Christianity is happening. But fractioning is what happens when there's no living voice, no voice that can speak the truth and clarify when there's a dispute or a disagreement. Maybe you've heard of Cardinal Newman. He was an Anglican priest in the 19th century, and he became Catholic. And one of the things that he saw was that in the Anglican Church, there's no voice, there's no voice of authority that can bring unity in times of distress or times of dispute or disagreement. So if you want to know more about it, you can read his writings. He's wrote a lot of things on that. So if everyone just goes their own way when there's a disagreement, that's what Protestantism is, really. It's that kind of seeking to follow Christ, but kind of doing it in your own way. And that's what happens, is the church fractions and breaks apart. Think of a football team. If you have a good football team, a good football coach, they're going to have a good playbook. Otherwise, everyone's just going to kind of do their own thing on the different plays, and it's not going to be very effective. You know, so it's the same thing in the church. We need to have that playbook, and that's kind of what our faith is. That's what the teachings of the church are. They're there to help us play the game well. I think of when I was in Rome studying, I played on a soccer team. And, over in Europe, soccer is a really big thing. Everybody loves it over there. They're really good at it. And we had a bunch of Americans playing, we're good at sports, but we're not necessarily good at soccer. So what our team did is we practiced a lot. We worked together as a team, and we actually won the tournament a couple times while I was there. So that was, that's pretty impressive. These Americans coming in, kind of showing up, all these other people. We didn't have the best players, though. We had other teams we played, they had really good players. They were really good technical. They could dribble. They could shoot amazing. They could pass like none other. But what we had is we had that team unity. And that's what the church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be that united together. We work together and we play the game well. We play the game very well together. And that's one of the things that we as Christians, as Catholics especially, are called to do. And that's why we have the voice of Peter. We hear in our scriptures today all about that and how important that is to have that voice of unity. Peter, you are the rock which I build my church upon. So the Pope is the successor of Peter. You know, Christ gave this office. He didn't just make Peter like, okay, Peter, you have this special role, but once you're gone, that's it. No, he gave this office, the office of the papacy, the office of the bishops. They're there, the magisterium of the church is that teaching branch of the church that helps us and guides us. So if we look, what is a steward? That's kind of this idea. In our first reading, we heard about the steward and how the steward receives the keys. And whatever he binds is bound, and whatever he looses is loosed. You know, that special role of the steward is to be kind of taking care of the kingdom while the king is away. Who's the king? The king is Jesus. Where's the kingdom? The kingdom's here on earth. It's the church. We are living in the kingdom now. You know, especially when we come to Mass, this is where heaven and earth come together. And so we're living in that kingdom right now by being here. So Peter has that special role. That special role of the steward, the one who holds the keys. And he's there to bring unity to the church and to bind and loose. He has that special role. What does Jesus say to Peter? He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So the key symbolizes that authority, that power that is given to the popes while Jesus is away. He's the king, he's ruling, but he gives his steward control while he's away. The key symbolizes that role that Peter has. We also heard about in our first reading about that peg. I don't know if you caught that. There's the line about the strong peg that holds the tent together. Let me see if I can find it. I will fix him like a peg in a sure spot. You know, that idea that the Israelites, they knew all about tents. They lived in tents for 40 years in the desert. And there's this idea that there's this one peg in the center of the tent that holds everything together. If that peg is not in a sure spot and in a strong spot, you know, if that peg comes loose, then the whole thing is going to go. So it's important to have that center peg that's in a sure spot. And that's what the role of Peter, of the papacy, is, to hold us together, especially in times of turmoil or times of, when things are not going well or we have questions about something. The voice of Peter can speak. You know, it's, again, going back to that idea of the book, the rule of books. We have the Bible, right? The Bible is good. But if everybody reads the Bible and decides that on their own what they're going to do, then what do you get? You get the fractioning of the church. So you need that living voice that says, this is the way that we are to read this, or this is the way that we are to go on this thing. And so by the Holy Spirit, Christ is with us. He's still with us. He's guiding the church through the Pope and the bishops, the magisterium. And it's important for us to recognize that. Sometimes we think of all these structures and everything as kind of restraining or restricting. But I think it's better for us to think about it as a gift that allows us to play the game well, play the game of faith well. So friends, Christ has established the church to allow us to live in the kingdom now. And he gave us a perfect playbook. We have all the plays that we need to play a beautiful game, a game that is full of great joy. And Christ gave us the popes, the papacy, to kind of be the reps or the umpires that can help the game flow. You know, a good umpire allows the game to flow, but he also keeps it going and keeps it on track. So let's play the game well. Let's play the game with joy. Let's play the game with energy, with passion. Let's play a beautiful game, a game full of adventure and based on truth, and a game played with passion and energy. And we can also pray for our Holy Father, Pope Francis, and our bishops, and ask that the Lord continue to guide them and help them in any times when there's turmoil, which seems like there's always turmoil. So it's important to have that living voice. So my brothers and sisters, this morning, we remember why Christ gave us the church, why he gave us the papacy, and we ask the Lord to continue to use those to help us live our faith.